Right here. This is where Jesus was kneeling when they came and grabbed him.
And I came in from this direction with my sword drawn, and I cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. Reacted exactly the way Jesus told us not to.
Jesus,
he picks up that man's ear. And he puts it right on his head, like it had always been there. But that's what he did. Jesus was always fixing people's messes. You know, I said I didn't know him that night. 3 times. 3 times. I denied my friend. He told me I was gonna do it before I even did it. And like an idiot, I argued with him. But he was right. He's always right. He told us he was gonna die before he died. But you know what he did? You know what he did when he came back to life? That morning when he came back to life, he gave me the opportunity to tell him I loved him. 3 times. 3. He knew. That was my greatest regret. But that's how he does it. When it settles here, it changes here. And that turns the past upside down. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happened that night. Because of what happened that morning. Because he beat death. He is alive. Alive! 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 Alive!
Our scripture today comes from John chapter 21, beginning with verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today. I'm so glad you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comments section. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, send those to us. We want to pray for you. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can do that on the website or the Christ Church app. Today we're wrapping up this message series, Hope Alive, Faith in the Aftermath. 3 weeks ago, we celebrated Easter, and the heart of the Easter story is Jesus' resurrection. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And what's so significant about that? Jesus' resurrection is the God thing that legitimized everything that Jesus said and did. He said he was the Son of God. He said he was the Christ, God's anointed one. He said he was one with the Father. He said he was going to suffer, die, and be raised. He said all of these things, but his resurrection, his actual resurrection is the God thing that makes his statements ring true with relevance and power today. No one else has ever said, I'm God's anointed one, I'm going to suffer and die for others, in 3 days I'm going to be raised from the dead, and then was. Jesus' resurrection is the miraculous sign he said would be given to the world, indicating his true nature and identity. As the old gospel song says, there ain't nobody quite like Jesus. Jesus' resurrection is central to our faith. Jesus' resurrection had an impact, a huge impact, on his followers as well. 2 weeks ago, we saw that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was devastated by Jesus' death, but was probably quick to believe the news of his resurrection because she had experienced many signs and wonders throughout her life concerning Jesus and had kept them alive in her heart all those years. Mary was quick to believe. And for some people, the decision to believe comes easy too. We hear the gospel story, it makes sense, and to believe just seems like the natural, normal thing to do. Maybe that's been your experience. It is for many, and that's great. But others struggle. Thomas struggled. His experience of Jesus' death was also devastating, so much so that his faith was shipwrecked. When the other disciples said, Thomas, we have seen the Lord. Thomas was so bound up in his heartache and his anguish that he couldn't bring himself to believe. Unless I see his hands and feet and touch his side, I won't believe. Some of us know about shipwrecked faith. We too have experienced heartache, questions, pain. We know what it is to be blindsided by life, and all that we have are lots of questions and few answers. For many people, and you may know someone, sometimes it's not easy, if not impossible, to believe. That's where Thomas was, and Jesus came, met him where he was at, showed him the scars in his hands, in his side, and said, okay, now stop doubting and believe. And then Jesus went on to say, blessed are those who don't see what you see and still believe. Remember this, with God, faith is always going to be part of the deal. It's central to our relationship with him. Today, we're looking at the life of another disciple and how Jesus' resurrection impacted him. And the one thing that we can say about Simon Peter is this. He was serious about his discipleship. From their first encounter to their last, Peter was trying to follow Jesus all out with everything he had. Post all out in the chat. They first met on the shores of Galilee, and in no time, Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And Peter dropped everything and said, I'm in. One night on the lake with the others, it was Peter who said, Lord, can you help me walk on the water too? And when Jesus said, come, it was Peter who got out of the boat and started walking. One time, Jesus asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? After a bit, it was Peter who boldly proclaimed in Matthew 16:16, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And just a few minutes later, when Jesus began to explain how he was going to go to Jerusalem to suffer and die and be raised back to life, it was Peter who pulled him aside and said in Matthew 16:22, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." And then on the night he was betrayed, as Jesus was trying to prepare his disciples for what was going to happen, he told them they would all fall away. "Strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." It was Peter who said in Matthew 26:33, "Even if all the others fall away from you, I never will." Which prompted Jesus saying to Peter that he would in fact deny him three times. You have to admire Peter's guts, his tenacity, his self-confidence. Throughout his time with Jesus, he's always the one who is stepping up or stepping out. He was an action kind of guy who was bold in faith. And I suppose that's why Jesus chose him to head up the church. And that same kind of faith serves us well in our discipleship. Following Jesus today takes guts, tenacity, faith. If we're going to be serious about our discipleship, we too are going to have to learn to step up and step out. It takes guts to follow Jesus. You may find yourself at odds with people and with the culture around you. In his day, John Wesley took a stand against slavery, and he boldly declared, "What we need is scriptural holiness across the land." Was that message well received? No, it was not. Wesley and the Methodists were ridiculed. Today, Christians are standing up against human slavery and sex trafficking still, and also calling for scriptural holiness across the world. That's always included a sexual ethic of fidelity in marriage and celibacy and singleness. It's also included a definition of marriage as being between a man and a woman. Are these positions popular in our day? No, they are not. It takes guts to follow Jesus. At times we may find ourselves at odds with people and the culture around us. It takes tenacity, resolve, persistence to follow Jesus because there are always distractions, always temptations, always other things that can carry us away. Mike and Daniel Blackaby, two guys who were 26 and 24 years old when they wrote the book titled When Worlds Collide to help young Christian adults navigate today. They talk about three responses Christian young adults have in the midst of pop culture. First of all, cave in. Throw away your values and compromise your beliefs. Plenty of people do that. Or they say, secondly, cave dwellers hide from anything secular and keep oneself in the Christian bubble. Some try to do that, but it has problems too. Or they say, three, collide with the culture. Don't hide from the world. Go out in it, but be prepared to stand firm in your beliefs. That's what I hope and pray for all of us, that together we can help each other develop the guts, tenacity, and skills to be colliders with the culture who stand up and shine a light for God. When some say, "Pornography's no big deal," you may have to say, "It is to me." Or when some say sexual promiscuity of our day is no big deal, you may have to say, "The scripture says otherwise." It's not easy standing up or shining a light for God, but hey, you and I, we can do it. Well, Peter was serious about his discipleship, but in the time of testing, Peter cracked under pressure. Post cracked in the chat. Remember, he had said, "Even if everyone else falls away from you, I never will." After Jesus was arrested, everyone else did scatter, and Peter followed Jesus to the courtyard of the high priest. He was trying to keep his oath. But then a young servant girl said, "Hey, you were with Jesus of Galilee." "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. And then another girl, "This fellow was with Jesus. I don't know the man," he said. And then others, you were one of them. Your accent gives you away." At that moment, what is Peter to do? We read in Matthew 26:74. "Then he began to call down," what? "Curses on himself. And he swore to them, 'I don't know the man.' Immediately, a rooster crowed. And when he realized what he had done, he went away and wept bitterly." My guess is all that night and all the next day, Friday, as he saw Jesus crucified, and on into the next day, Saturday, Peter just beat himself up unmercifully. For all his bravado and talk and promises, in the time of testing, he had cracked under the pressure. What kind of a leader? What kind of a friend? What kind of a loyal disciple does that? Of course, we could have answered his question. We know what Jesus knew. We crack too. In spite of our best efforts, in times of testing, in times of pressure, we crack too. We cave in. We fail to shine his light, to walk in his ways, to practice his teachings. We don't want to, but we do. In my own life, I can think of times when I, in effect, said, "I don't know the man." Like in adolescence, when I encountered other kids who were struggling and I was too preoccupied or self-centered to even try to help. Or in high school, when classmates needed maybe a kind word or a friend, how many times was I just indifferent? Or in college, when I'd come home from college and have the opportunity to share my new faith with my old friends, was I bold to do it? As a young adult, in trying to establish my life, how much time did I actually make for following Jesus? Or was I too busy? Even after being in ministry, how many times have I let the busyness of leading the church prevent me from pointing people to Jesus? John Wesley told his preachers, "You have nothing to do but save souls." Do I have that same fire and passion as those Methodist preachers once had? In all these examples, I have to admit that I often crack. I fall short of boldly following Jesus. We all do. On some level, we crack. We fail. We deny Christ in the midst of everyday life and pressure. We need help. And we wonder if help can ever reach us. Peter no doubt felt that way. Peter felt the anguish of his failure. He was distraught, guilt-ridden, torn up by the events surrounding what happened. He had denied the Lord 3 times. How did Jesus know he was going to do it? And he would never forget the feeling in his gut when their eyes met after the rooster crowed. Not only had he denied the Lord, but he had been completely powerless to do anything to stop Jesus from being crucified. His whole world had been turned upside down. And then to have heard the women's report that he was alive, to have run to the grave and to see the empty tomb, and then to have seen him actually alive himself in the upper room with the other disciples, it was astounding. He was thrilled that Jesus was alive, but I have to believe he was still struggling within as well. He had let Jesus down. He had denied his Lord, and he didn't know what to do about it. But Jesus did. Jesus had a plan to restore Peter. Post restore in the chat. In our story for today, Peter and some of the disciples had gone fishing. They had returned to what they were doing before meeting Jesus as a way of trying to make sense of everything. And early in the morning, Jesus greets them with a charcoal fire, breakfast cooking, and a repeat experience of helping them catch a boatload of fish. He told them to throw the net on the other side of the boat, the same thing he had said the first time they met, before he'd called them to follow him. He was calling them back to who they were. You are my disciples with a mission to do. And specifically for Peter, there were three pointed questions. Simon, son of John, do you really love me? Simon, do you really love me? And then in John 21:17, the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Why a fire and three questions? Because it was around a fire and in response to three questions that Peter had first denied Jesus. Jesus was restoring Peter. He was restoring him. Now, in that moment, I don't think Peter understood what Jesus was doing. It was probably only later in thinking, why did Jesus ask me about my love for him three times that it finally dawned upon him? Three times I denied him. Three times he had me declare my love for him. To replace those feelings of guilt and shame with new feelings of love and acceptance. 3 years earlier, Jesus had said, follow me. And the last thing that he said to Peter in John 21:19, then he said to him, follow me. Jesus restored Peter, and he wants to restore us too. We blow it. We fail. At times, we deny knowing Jesus, but he knows who we are and what we're prone to do. And so he comes in grace and power to forgive us and redeem us. Max Lucado tells a story about his 4-year-old daughter, Jenna. Jenna confessed that she wrote on the wall with a crayon. Trying to be a wise father, Max took Jenna up in his lap and he asked, is that a good thing to do? Through her tears, Jenna replied, no. What does a daddy do when you write on the wall? Max inquired. Spank me, sobbed Jenna. Well, what do you think daddy should do this time? Love me. Isn't that what we'd say if we were in Jenna's shoes? And isn't that what happened by the sea? Jesus loved Peter. Anyway, he could have said, I told you so, or let this be a lesson to you, or I don't want this to ever happen again. But instead, Jesus fixes breakfast and he loves Peter and says again, Peter, follow me. That is what grace is about. Last thing to notice, Jesus sent Peter out to feed others. Post feed in the chat. In response to Peter's answers, Jesus says the same thing. Feed my lambs. Look after my sheep. Feed my sheep. At the beginning of his ministry, Jesus had said, you'll be a fisher of men. You'll catch people. And now in his last commission to Peter in John's gospel, he is saying, be a shepherd of sheep. Feed them. Take care of them. And get this, that is our calling too. To take the love and hope and truth that we have experienced from Christ and share it. Who are the sheep in your life? Who are the lambs in your world that you can help feed and care for? We have our family, friends, and colleagues. We can feed and care for them physically, emotionally, spiritually. Through the church, we can also feed and care for children, youth, and other adults here in our community, across our state, our nation, and around the world. We have the opportunities. Our challenge is, will we heed the call? Yes, in our own strength, we will blow it. But with the love of Jesus poured out upon us and the presence of the Holy Spirit within us and the grace of God our Father always extended toward us, we can do our part to feed God's sheep, to help one another grow up in our knowledge of Jesus. Know, love, serve. Remember, we come to know Jesus, and then in knowing Jesus, our love for Him just grows stronger, and as our love grows stronger, our conviction to serve Jesus and other people grows stronger too. Know, love, serve. And that's how we're changed. And that's how the world becomes a better place. We need more of Jesus' transforming power in our world today. Amen? You can heed the call to feed more of Jesus' sheep. Talk with Tanya or Ethan or Jim or me about how you can help. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you as well. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You for this part of Peter's story. Though he said he was going to follow You even to the death, in the time of testing, he cracked, he failed. We know about that, Lord. We've been there too. The guilt, the shame, the pain. But Jesus understood. He took specific steps to restore Peter. He has the power to forgive and restore us too. Lord, for anyone listening today, racked by guilt or shame, let today be the beginning of being set free. Come right now with Your grace and power to forgive and restore and redeem. Because of Your resurrection, Lord, there's always hope for a new day, a new beginning. Set us free, Lord, to do Your work in the world. Help us to be on the team of feeding Your sheep. In Jesus' name and for His sake we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen. Hey, if you want to visit with me about the message, I'd love to hear from you. Get a hold of me. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, again, send them to us. We want to pray for you. And thank you again for your generosity. Your ongoing gifts are helping us to reach new people for Jesus and His kingdom. You go online, you use the app or the website anytime. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities. Find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, though Peter failed big time in his discipleship, Jesus restored him and then sent him out to feed His sheep. That's our calling too. For now, who do you know that needs restoring or feeding? You can help with that.
Do you know why scuba divers exit the boat by falling backwards?
Scuba divers, boat backwards.
No, because if they went forward, they'd still be on the boat.
The youth are having their annual basket auction. Themed baskets are donated by classes or individuals. Be as creative as you want. In the past, we have had baskets ranging from martial arts lessons to fishing gear. If you would like to contribute a basket, contact Ethan. Bidding opens on Sunday the 7th. All proceeds go to help lowering the costs of summer camps.
We are thrilled to announce a fellowship event for the women of CUMC. Join us as we share stories about the special women in our lives. Delicious food, engaging fellowship, and a fun craft activity will be provided.
Our last first Wednesday of spring is May 3rd, featuring a special concert by the Tulsa Festival Ringers and Oklahoma Mike, and a testimony from the Coffee Bunker. The Coffee Bunker supports veterans and their families in their transition to civilian life through personal and professional development. Join us at First Wednesday, a meal, a mission, a message.
You can find all of this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.